All right, we have the band Savage here today to do a Skype interview. So, first of all, guys, introduce yourselves and tell me what you do in the band.
I'm Chris Bradley, and I'm the lead singer and bass player. I'm Andy Dawson, lead guitar player.
How did the band get started?
Basically, it was a band I put together back in 1978. Andy came to the band via his brother, who was a drummer. His brother left about a year later. And then we spent a long while through the main part of me waving British heavy metal, basically without a drummer. So that's why we didn't really get our first records out until the tail end of the New Robin movement.
Alright.
Just a small, just a local band really. Started out playing covers and then very quickly started writing our own material. We seemed like a natural thing to do. We could have carried on just playing covers because we were quite young. I mean, I was... Chris was 18, and probably by, you know, within a year we were writing our own stuff, and that seemed really important for us to do, and that kind of then gave us a real focus of what, why we were doing it.
Awesome. Okay, what kind of music do you guys play?
Well, now, as a band? We're a heavy rock band. That's what we've always said it was. It's, we're a heavy rock band. People refer to us hard rock, some refer to us heavy metal. A heavy rock band. The stuff, the new album, Sons of Malice, is, I think, kind of quite heavy. But some people have said it's not metal, it's hard rock. You know, so that's not for us to... decide for other people to comment on, but you know, we just like really powerful, heavy riffs, but we do like melody, we like good hooks and chorus, things that people can kind of latch onto, so kind of mixture of heavy music and good melody, you know, so whatever that is, if it's hard rock, heavy metal, I don't know.
Yes, and I've heard the album and it's really awesome.
Thank you.
How has the fan response been to the new album?
It's been really good. We've made a lot of new fans, I think, which is important, because there's a lot of people that know us from, you know, from our very early days. But there's been a lot of new people, a lot of people we've never met or spoke to before, and that's the, you know, the beauty of the internet, obviously, that you can have that kind of contact through, you know, through emails and MySpace and Facebook and stuff like that. So, I mean, all the reviews, you know, 99% have been really good. We've had a few awful reviews, but I think that's kind of positive because if all the reviews have been really good, really get it. A few negative reviews that obviously just don't like or don't get what we do. So it's been not a kind of, you know, a mixed response. It's been overwhelmingly positive and people... You know, listening to the stuff, they're listening, and they're listening to the lyrics, and they're trying to get their head around about what the songs are about and what they mean. You know, so really, you know, we're really pleased that people are kind of studying the music and the songs and kind of getting into them and trying to figure out what we're trying to say. And a lot of the interviews that we've done have been about that. You know, about what you're trying to say, what is the message behind this song or that song. So that's a real good indication that people are listening to it, you know, properly and giving it a lot of consideration.
Yeah, definitely. Where did you get the band name from?
I don't know, Chris.
It just sounded like a good idea for a metal band back in the late 70s. I suppose if you look at all the band names from that time, it was that kind of thing, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Motorhead, it just seems a macho name for a macho type of music.
The good thing is that seem to get that the name ahead of everyone else. There's lots of bands with Savage, you know, in the title.
Right.
So Sweet Savage or Nasty Savage or whatever. So the fact that we got there first and managed to claim that word for ourselves is good because everybody else has kind of either used it in a different way. And we feel like we've cornered the market, cornered that brand, you know, Savage is us. And if you want to be in a band like that, you've got to use another name because we got there first.
Nice. Alright, who writes the majority of the music and the lyrics?
It's always been, more or less from day one, it's been the same kind of formula, and usually I will come up with a musical idea, and then we'll kick it around as a band, and then Chris will take it away and work on the kind of lyrics and melodies. But there's always that kind of possibility and option for each other to kind of influence that, so occasionally Chris will come up with a piece of music. Occasionally I'll come up with a lyric or a melody idea, but essentially me and Chris have always written the songs, the vast majority. There's a few kind of co-writes along the way with different band members, but essentially myself and Chris, you know, music and words and melodies is you know, the way that it's always done. As in, I think, you know, most classic bands, there's been that kind of songwriting partnership throughout.
Where do you get your lyric ideas from?
From real life. We tend to write about demons and wizards, although I'm not knocking that, you know, the bands do it, but we tend to write songs that are reflections on societal issues, basically the human condition. We find the subject matter far more interesting.
Also, because of that, it develops. Because, you know, society changes, the world changes, things happen in the world like, you know, like the banking crisis. And therefore, you know, the music can reflect on that. So as the band develops and moves forward, then, you know, the kind of lyrical ideas change as well. So we're not just kind of stuck in the past.
Yeah, someone asked us recently, you know, why are we so political? We never considered ourselves to be political per se. We just write about things that are current in people. So if you want to call that political, then yeah, but it's just about, I think with music, you've got a duty in the arts to raise awareness on certain things and put a point across. And I think musicians are infinitely a better place to comment on things like that.
I think noticed, particularly with this album, you know, as I said earlier on, there's been a real interest in the kind of lyrical content. And, you know, I read magazines and interviews with all kind of bands, and it's quite rare, actually, that upon the content of, you know, what the song's about, it's usually, well, this is a great song, or that's a great riff, or it's got a great middle ending, or a great crossover. So the fact that people are talking about that, I think, kind of justifies that approach, so that, you know, having songs have got some, you know, an opinion, have got something to say on what's going on in the world, and for people listening to it, you know, there's something else to kind of concentrate on. You know, once you kind of enjoy the music, you can then dig a little bit deeper.
All right. How many songs do you have on CDs have you guys released?
Albums.
This is the sixth album.
Oh wow!
So we're not prolific.
We've had two long gaps in between. Basically, the first album was released in 1983. That was the real big one that sort of catapulted us onto the world stage as such. The second album was released years later. The year after that, the band split up for various reasons. And we sort of got back together again, predominantly basically me and Andy got back together again 10 years later. Not that we'd ever really been apart, because there was and still is, as much as a family connection, I was married to Andy's sister at the time. My son, which is Andy's nephew, is in the current lineup of the band. And we he got back together again, 95, I think it was. We did three more albums, which the last one was 2001. And the only intense focus was to do another album after that, but unfortunately, life, death and taxes, but most of that case, divorces and deaths got in the way. There were a lot of deeply personal things going off for all of us. So it sort of, the time wasn't really right, we just couldn't get everybody together at the time. So it wasn't until sort of 2009 when we sort of were in a position where things had settled and everybody was ready, and we started writing for this new album.
Who are your musical influences?
Mostly, obviously initially it's the stuff that we used to listen to back as kids, which would be bands like Deep Black Sabbath, Queen, Led Zeppelin, Thin Lizzy, UFO, all those sort of bands back then, but you know, we're not sort of unbelievably self-centered and won't listen to anything else. We do listen to a lot of things. There's been lots of good bands in various different movements that we have admired and listened to since. You tend to get a lot with heavy metal bands that really despise the grunge movement, but me and Andy never did. I mean, two of my favourite bands, Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam, are grunge bands. I also like a lot of the new metal bands. Disturbed, one of my favourite bands of all the time. We like Slipknot, we like Rage Against the Machine, we like Korn, there's many bands that come up over the years that we will listen to, but we still listen to the stuff that we started out listening to, including Van Halen.
We're very aware as well that, you know, Savage has a particular sound and identity, so even though we like lots of different bands along the way, we're kind of very aware that Savage has its kind of place, and we try to kind of stay faithful to that, but still move it along. A lot of reviews have said it sounds like a kind of classic rock, but it still sounds quite contemporary. So that's for us, that's, you know, exactly what we're trying to achieve.
What is the band like when you play live?
It's a different, I mean, live is, you know, it's such a different environment, and the energy, you just can't, you know, as much as you try to in the studio when you record an album, you can't, you know, you're busy concentrating on being a musician and making sure everything's right. When you play live, it's just, the energy levels are different, and you just can't recreate that. So when we play live, I mean, we played a very short set in Germany quite recently, and you go on and you're really pumped up and you play well, you play fast, and it's just pure energy, really. So, you know, when we are going to be out there playing live, it's just like an extra 25% over and above, you know, what the band is. It's something magical playing from an audience that you just can't recreate. It's like a drug, I suppose. So it's just performing at a higher level, really, because you just kind of, the adrenaline is there. One of the criticisms of the band has always been that we don't basically keep doing the same album over and over again. As Andy says, we tend to move it around a little bit and try new things and experiment a little bit within the genre. But the thing is about the live situation, when we start to play the songs from all the various albums that span over a 30-year period, all of a sudden it sounds like it belongs with that particular band. It just gels together. It ties together and becomes more coherent, if that makes any sense.
All right, and how big of a crowd shows up usually?
It depends who we're playing. The show we did in Germany, there was a couple of thousand there. It all depends on the size of the venue, where we're playing, whether it's a festival, whether we're in support of somebody.
For the most we've played to is about back in Germany, and it's difficult to say, because on site there's probably 40 or 50 people, so difficult to kind of know how many of those are kind of watching the stage that you're on. So you're looking at tens of thousands of people, and then we played in Holland to 10,000, and then, you know, we played clubs to, you know, 200 or 300, so, you know, obviously, it's almost the bigger gigs are easier, smaller gigs are harder, because you've got to really work hard to create an atmosphere, whereas a big gig, the atmosphere is kind of there, you know, it's just like being a big sports event, you know, everybody's up for it, everybody's there, so, it could be anything between 200 and, you know, 10,000, depending on the venue that it is.
Alright, are there any bands that you played with that kind of stuck out to you?
Metallica, we played with a long time ago now, but you could tell they were really on it. You know, they were doing their own thing, and they were just doing what they wanted to do, and they just, you know, tore the roof off the place, and they were decent guys, you know, they were kind of friendly with us and came backstage, and we got really good memories of, you know, having a few beers with those guys. And then I think in to an interview recently where we talked about Diamond Head, we played a local gig with them, and they were really arrogant, and they were kind of, you know, they were quite dismissive of us, and they spent hours and hours sound checking and just kind of taking up as much room and time as possible, and treated us with no respect whatsoever. So you got the two opposites there.
Right.
And then recently we went to Germany and we played with a German band called What's Calibre, really cool. But then we travelled over, flew over with a guy from Persian Musk.
Yeah.
Was singer Carl, his name Carl Tompkins. He was just like, you know, best mates, just really lovely guy, really friendly. We hung out all weekend, you know, so.
And we followed Amber on that night. Amber played just before it.
Yes. So, you know, you meet all kinds of bands, and you know, most of the guys are really friendly, especially when you've been around a lot longer. I think the problem with Diamond Head was they were kind of early days thinking they were going to take on the world. When you kind of do a little bit and you've been around a bit, you're a bit more kind of like realistic about there's no real benefit in trying to put anybody else down, and the best you can do is get on and support each other. And
ego seems to be a big less of a problem.
Yeah, because you just, you know, there's no point, so do the best job you can.
Yeah, definitely the egos. Alright, how does the crowd react when you guys play?
Well, wild, obviously.
Awesome.
We played in Germany April, and you know, it's a really short kind of performance, but it's great. You know, people know your stuff and they've come to see you. Some people travel a long way, and it's always really gratifying because we're fairly down to earth, humble guys. You know, we're fans as well. You know, we're fans of the music, and we're fans of all the bands that we've loved. So to have people queuing to talk to you or ask for an autograph or have a photograph taken is phenomenal. You know, so we're always really surprised and pleased, you know, with the kind of reaction that we get. And that's kind of, you know, gives you the reason for doing it. So, you know, some of the fans are just amazing.
Okay. What is the scene like in your country?
Pretty diet, pretty yeah. Poor, to be fair. The thing is, the big festivals in the UK are huge, you know, the big kind of like Download, V-Fest, Download, Glastonbury, these are like huge festivals. Download's the biggest kind of metal one, and you know, they're massive, and thousands of people go. But the kind of smaller circuit, and you know, clubs and venues are really quite limited, and the press, you know, UK press are really interested in the latest kind of trends and fads, so the kind of music we play very much gets sidelined. So there isn't the kind of support in the UK for what we do that there is in other parts of the world, which is the way it's always been. UK's always been like that.
Yeah,
you know, moves on very quickly to the next thing, and very quickly forgets, you know, what's happened in the past. It's not just, we're not just victims of that. In every genre, every kind of band that comes along has its day in the sunshine, and then, you know, British media move on. So it's tough. It's really, it's quite difficult to kind of, you know, get out there and make it work.
I have this kind of fun question, but it's a two-part, so I'll ask the first part. What made you want to be in the band?
So just say that one again. What?
What made you want to be in the band?
Well, we enjoyed the music. We just wanted to be a band that played that type of music. We were initially emulating our heroes, the people we listened to. And we found our own way in that and created something for ourselves. We do it because we enjoy the writing and playing. I mean, bear in mind, when we started, we were really, really young. And I can remember, you know, being 15 and, you know, plugging a guitar in and playing something that is either recognisable or is cool. So I think there's nothing quite matches it that I've ever done or come across that is that thing of being in a room with a bunch of musicians playing something that, you know, even at 15, 16, begins to sound cool. So, and the key is trying to retain that joy of playing, you know, because I think you lose sight of that, especially early days when you're bombarded with kind of reviews and press and opinions about what you should look like, how you should dress, who you should sound like. And that really ruins a lot of bands, and it certainly did for us. And then you kind of get back to where we are now, which is kind of full circle, which is about, you know, I still put on the album and get excited. You know, you record something and you play it back and you get kind of goosebumps. You know, Americans have goosebumps. But, you know, you get that kind of feeling on the back of your neck thinking this is really cool. I've always searched for that, you know, playing music. And when that stops, then it's time to pack up. I think the reasons for being in a band are the same now as when we were, like, you know, 15, 16.
Oh, definitely. And if you weren't in the band, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'd be in another band. For me, music's always going to be part of my life. If I wasn't doing that, I have no idea, I'd probably be dead.
Probably the same as we're doing now, to be honest. We all work for a living as well, just to basically pay the bills, because the money's not in this game anymore. So if we went to the band, we'd probably be very sad individuals, but you know, we'd still be doing something because we all work for a living.
But music is something, you know, if I never left the house, I could still play guitar, you know, it wouldn't matter if I made any money or not. If I wasn't a musician, I don't know, it's got me through some really difficult times. So it's like you can't imagine life not being a musician when you've been it. It's just unimaginable.
Definitely, and it always needs to be about the music and not the money. I mean, money don't hurt, but... Okay, what does the future hold for the band?
The next thing is we're going to be going out on the road and playing some shows. We're negotiating about various gigs. We've got two festivals lined up later this year. We're hoping to expand on that. And we'll play as many territories as we possibly can. And also next year, because it's the 30th anniversary of our very first album, we're looking to do probably some live recordings. And at some point next year, release another live album, but we'll concentrate perhaps one disc on the entire first album played live, and then the second disc will probably be a selection of material from the other five albums.
It's been interesting as well, talking to different territories like India, for example, which is, you know, as a economic power really coming into its own, and quite exciting about talking to those territories. You know, which May was still in playing there. about, you know, a really great amount of interest from America, which, you know, has only been kind of on the outskirts of our radar. So, you know, who knows, might come to America next year if we get that opportunity. So anything's on the cards, really.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for the interview. And go ahead and tell us any websites where people can look you guys up.
We've got a Facebook site, which if you just look on there, I think it's Savage Music UK. We also have a MySpace site, same again, which would be Savage UK if you look on there. We've also got a Reverb Nation site, and currently we are also .co.uk site has been created for us as well, which should be running pretty soon. And on YouTube we've got a promo video for the title track of the albums up on YouTube, so check us out on there. But again, you know, we've never had the opportunity to do that before, so we've got, you know, opportunity for people to see something like, you know, what we might look and sound like. So, and it's the same name again, you'll find it with Savage Music UK. Put Savage Sons of Malice into Google, you'll find us all over the place.
Oh, definitely. And I'm going to actually play a song by you guys. I don't know how it will sound on Skype, so if it's too loud for you guys, you can end the call.
What are you going to play?
Let's see. What should we play? How about the title of the album, Sons of Malice?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Hey all, this is Maestro from Free Delusional. You're listening to WEBG 88.9 FM on the button. Silver Springs, Florida. Music for an enraged generation.
Alright. Was that too loud for you guys, or did it sound okay?
No, I can be too loud. It did distort a little, but that's just Skype, so.
Yeah, that's Skype. We tried messing with the settings and everything, and it just.
As long as it sounds okay when it goes out, you know, on your station, I find it will. So. When we listen to the broadcast, has it gone out now, or are you?
Yeah, we're live now.
Are you recording, editing it? Right? Are we on now?
It's both. You're live now, and it's recorded.
Oh, right. Hi, everybody. Hello, America.
Exactly.
Go buy an album. Don't download it for free. Pay for it. We need the money.
Yes,
send checks.
Yes, they need money. Everyone needs money.
We do need money. Trust me, we need some money, anyway.
All right, well, just to let you guys know, like I said, it is live and it's recorded, and it will be played again on my show on Monday. Show is called Disorderly, and it's just a great show that deals with a lot of indie and unsigned bands, and you know, worldwide. So I will play it then. And
please send a link for you so we can see it.
Yes, I'll send you. And when I do have the interview posted, I will send you an email and let you know about that.
Cool.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
And thank you guys.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Enjoying it.
All right. And I'll be emailing you, so I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Rob from the band Mausoleum. You're listening to Animosity Radio.